We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it.
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. I feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That pig was really strong.
Look out, the name Butler. Butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, C.T. Schwenk. Thank you for joining us down here in Washington, D.C. this October 20th, 2015. Zardcast is back. 2015-16 Washington Wizards season. We're here. It's not Sunday. It's Tuesday. And that's where we'll be for a couple weeks. From here in October, probably till about the end of December. A little bit of a quirky schedule, but we'll be with you for the duration. We're going to record on a few more Tuesdays, we'll shift to Sundays, back to Tuesdays, and then when we get to the new year, we'll be back on the full Sunday schedule, just as a heads up. If this is the first time you're listening and you have not already done so, you should follow us on Twitter at Zardcast. Zardcast.com is the website. Zardcast@gmail.com is the email address should you have a question, query, or comment you'd like read on the show. You should subscribe on iTunes, Overcast, Downcast, Podbay, Podwiser, Podlight, whichever podcasting application you prefer. So, you know, we got this irregular schedule. If you want Zardcast as soon as it's released, if you subscribe, it'll appear on your mobile device as soon as I upload it. And while you're over there in the iTunes store, do give us a 5-star review or recommend us on the podcasting application that you prefer. So, it's the first episode of the year. I'm joined, as always, friend, co-host, roommate. We clarified the life partner stuff last pod. That's not what we are. A step off. David Keffer, how are you?
Good. If you want to clarify that at the top of every show, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
I think some people, you know, we've gotten some tweets in. They question it, but we ironed it out last pod, and I won't address it anymore. Moving on, over here, Duncan Perfect Roth, back from his sweatshop empire in Puerto Rico. It's nice to see his face. Hopefully our summer podcast, kept his spirits alive as it pertains to the Washington Wizards. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm just overwhelmed with feeling being back in the room with you guys. I'm just excited.
Your voice really reflects that excitement, Duncan. Well, we're happy to have you back. We did a summer podcast. I know we eyed up doing it once a month. It just didn't really work out for us. But that's okay, because we're back on track. The season is upon us. When you're listening to this, we'll be a week away from the start of the Wizards season. While we're recording this, we're a week away from the start of the NBA season, so there's much to discuss. We're going to get into some, you know, preseason stuff, some off-season news, and then we will do an overall preview of this year's Wizards squad. So I think the good jumping off point here, I would just like to get everyone's general thoughts on where we are October 20th, you know, a week out from the season. Wizards fall in the second round of the postseason last year to the Atlanta Hawks, in sad fashion. But it's a new day, boys, and I think they can break through that second round ceiling. How's everyone feeling?
I'm just excited that basketball is back in general. I think once, you know, the games start going on, then I'll be able to get, like, a stronger feeling for what I hope and really want to see happen this year. But right now I'm just excited that they're back playing, in about a week.
Yeah.
I feel like, they've got one juggernaut team ahead of them in the East with the Cavs, but aside from them, I don't look at any team in the East and fear them. I think every other team is someone the Wizards could take in a series or, you know, end up ahead of in the seeding.
Fair enough. That's exciting enough right there.
And after the last 2 years, the regular season has... It would take a lot for me to be really upset with how the regular season goes, just considering how much they've historically overperformed in the playoffs. So as long as they look, you know, the team looks different and looks good, I'm not too worried about where they end up in the seeding.
So you're, I know it's entirely too early to project towards postseason, but just kind of, you know, when I was putting together a note sheet here and kind of cycling back to, you know, last season and thinking about the regular season in particular, you know, and just thinking, you know, we'll go through the things that we hope to see the Wizards do, but you know, hopefully this year, with that second taste of success in the, you know, the playoffs. I know the regular season, it's an 82 game slog, but hopefully we see a little more energy from them mid year. They really fell into the dog days of January and February, and I think that was detrimental to a point. I don't really know how much the seeding. I don't think it didn't affect them at all. But, you know, the fact that the number two seed was there for the taking for a while, and it will certainly be there for the taking again, I hope that's something that they really try and savor it and work toward. But who knows on that front. It's a long season, and we haven't even – there hasn't even been a game yet. So
hopefully with the new guys they brought in – I mean, the plan last year was for some – to bring in some big men and provide some depth there. It didn't really work out too great, but mm-hmm. And then they went the other way, brought in a bunch of guards, perimeter guys, so hopefully they'll do a better job of that, and we won't have to rely on somebody like Rasul Butler, a 38-year-old man playing 30 minutes a game.
But he taught Batman so much.
Rasul Butler, if you recall, he was our first half MVP last year, from John Wall.
He was. Or was that a consensus?
That was my first half MVP.
I think we all.
Although
kind of,
I don't know that we all nailed it. I think
I picked Nene.
Yeah, I think I went Humphreys. So.
Oh yikes!
But we were trying to be edgy, you know.
That's true. I mean,
any of us could have said
John Wall, yeah. Bradley Beal,
right?
Well, hopefully, Dave, you mentioned how the Wizards, they swung the other way this offseason as opposed to the previous offseason. And I feel like coming out of the Atlanta series, the Toronto series, we had a pretty – the Wizards were able to discover things that they did well, which they didn't really know that they could do or they didn't try and do during the regular season. And so while, like, the big man – let's beef up the front court experiment didn't really work all that well last year. Hopefully, you know, they swing this way that, you know, we will see a change in play from the team and, you know, just improving the seedings all around. I think it could be a huge positive, but, it, you know, as we saw last year, also has the chance to go sour due to lack of effort or a number of things, injuries, et cetera.
Well, two of those guys have already had surgery since the Wizards signed them, so that's a great start.
Yes, indeed.
It does seem like they're looking like they want to change their style, you know, taking a lot more threes, a little more up-tempo, less plotting offense. My worry is that maybe they don't start as hot as they want, and then they just kind of revert back to their old ways. Whitman just kind of, you know, says, okay, well, in that case, experiment over. Let's reel it back in.
And, yeah. And he said that if the defense doesn't play like they need to, they'll go back to playing like they did before, which seems stupid. But that's Randy for you.
Yeah, defense first kind of guy. We've seen throughout the preseason that the Wizards have, you know, they've adopted that offensive smaller ball. I don't really want to go small ball or calling it that because I feel like that's just kind of trite. But smaller ball, I guess, a little bit higher pace. They're 4-1 in the preseason for whatever that's worth. They've got the highest offensive rating in the league. They've been taking an average of 25 three-pointers. They're among the top teams in pace. I think that's all pretty promising signs. Although I'm with you. I do fear that if the defense drops off, that the whole thing is going to reverse course as far as things go offensively. I haven't really, I'll admit, I haven't watched a whole lot of the preseason thus far.
I just watched the one game Kef and I went to. I don't really watch too much preseason either.
I mean, a lot of them weren't even on television.
Yeah. Those were kind of the big pieces of what we've seen from the preseason out of the Wizards. Just a couple other notes on it. Kelly Oubre, been playing well so far. He had a good game against the 76ers, scored 16.
Is he wearing the spike shoes on court? He didn't play the game I went to.
No spike shoes on court.
Okay. That's probably good.
Good news for old crusty sports writers everywhere. And another man playing well, much to Kef's dismay, DeJuan Blair. This is an interesting, he's a little interesting case here. Banished to the end of the bench majority of the last year, didn't play at all in the playoffs, or maybe like very briefly.
Yeah.
And I think he's played 3 or 4 of the preseason games, and he's actually been playing pretty well. Hauling down rebounds, scoring in the paint. Dave, you are not a fan. I'm not really a big fan of him either, but if he gets some run and he can, you know, play like he has in the preseason, or, you know, maybe a notch under that, I think he could be useful and worth keeping around.
Yeah, I mean, I guess somebody's going to have to soak up Kevin Serafin's minutes now that he's gone. So, yeah, I'm definitely not a fan. He seemed like a real dickhead last year. He didn't play well at, like, any point. But, and the one game, I mean, when we were there, he did score a bunch of points at the very end of Sixers game, but it wasn't like he was playing well. He was just chucking up a bunch of bad shots at the end of a
total garbage time.
Right.
Well, I think the idea was that the Wizards wanted to move him so they could keep Ish Smith or Torrey Murray. So I don't know if this is, I mean, I know DeJuan Blair, he came into camp, cut some weight, apparently he changed his attitude, who knows about that, but I guess this is what he's been doing is just kind of a general audition. I don't really know which way the Wizards are going to go on this, but
how often do people really change their attitudes in like any facet of life? I'm not talking about in basketball. How do you change your attitude? That's not a thing that people do. I don't believe him.
We were also saying when we went to that game, he still looks really large.
Yeah,
so
I don't
know how much weight he cut, or we were saying maybe he just put a ton on when the season ended and then just dropped it again and said, oh, I lost 20 pounds.
Yeah. He's also only like 6'5".
He has no ACLs. He can't jump. I mean, he has been a good rebounder in the past, but
he did average a double-double with the Mavericks at one point.
Really?
In the playoffs.
Wow.
In a playoff stretch, not in the regular season, but and we've seen him play well with the Spurs before, so I think it, you know, I guess we'll have to trust in Grunfeld on this one that he'll make the right call. I guess I probably would like to see Ish Smith or Torrey Murray if they do get rid of him, because, you know, you got Ramon Sessions and behind him is Garrett Temple, essentially as like the third guard on here, third point guard. So, you know, more depth of point guard can't hurt, but you know, it's the last spot on the team, essentially. It's kind of a wash.
And if they start playing Gary Neal at point guard, I think that will really upset me. He's looked like a very frustrating guy to watch. He shot the ball like fairly well, but that's really all that he does, from what I've seen.
I think that's fair. Yeah, I hope they don't try and do that. A couple other notes out of the preseason here. One super disparaging, actually. Not that we were expecting a whole lot from him this year, but Martell Webster hasn't played in a preseason game. He's been dealing with arthritis in his hip, and he's actually going to seek a second opinion from a doctor in Nebraska who he saw previously in the summer. This does not bode well for a guy who was talking about retiring after this year. I was hoping that we might get anything out of him at all because, you know, he's just kind of killing the spot on the roster.
Right.
If he's not playing. So this is sad. And I like Martell as just like a person. So this is this is a bummer.
I mean, he's not even 30 yet, is he? And he's just seems pretty broken down.
Yeah. Could be wise to hang it up after the season. He got a nice contract there to close things out, and maybe he pursues his music career. Who knows?
Yeah, he got in the league when he was 18 too. He's hopefully got some pretty good money already, you know.
He seems like a regular, responsible adult.
Yeah. I mean, I think he'll be fine.
He's a family man.
Just a regular guy putting out rap albums.
Yeah. And playing with underwear behind the Wizards bench. One last thing. We can talk about him a little bit more in just a minute or two. But between now and the next time we record, we might see Jared Dudley's Wizards debut. He's going to play in the last two, one of the, or maybe the second to last preseason game, maybe the last preseason game. And if not, it sounds like he'll be ready for the opener. So we might get to see him before the opening.
I was just perusing my Twitter feed before we started this, and somebody asked him, when are you going to be ready to play? And he said, I'm ready now, LOL. So unless that LOL means that he was joking, which wouldn't be a funny joke, Jared, it sounds like, and he said he would be shocked if he doesn't play on Friday, at least. So that's good. I thought he was going to be out for, you know, maybe the first month of the season or something.
Yeah. I think when we did the last podcast, that's kind of what we were projecting at the time. So hopefully you'll see Jared Dudley soon. Martell Webster, get better soon. Before we press on and we look ahead, I think we need to also just take one more look back. We're going to talk about what's new tonight with the Wizards. You know, there's a lot of old blood on the team. There's a lot of new additions. So we'll tackle just about every. We'll tackle every guy on the roster here. But I want to tackle the gentleman who hopped off the Czar train over the summer. We did talk about Paul Pierce over the summer on the podcast. We'll touch on him in a second. But one man we neglected, and who we will definitely be seeing throughout the season, Kevin Seraphine, gone to the Knicks. Don't really, you know, when he said he wasn't coming back, it didn't really move the needle for me. He did play nicely against Atlanta there in those last couple playoff games. I do agree that, you know, for him personally, it was a good move to find somewhere where he's going to get more opportunity to play. But, you know, middling player. He was a fun guy to have around.
Right.
I really didn't like it when he, like, hid from his vines. And apparently that was dragging his play down. I don't know. But farewell, Kevin Seraphine. You'll be missed a little bit.
I'm sure he'll have a lot of fun in New York. Probably all sorts of Segway tours he can take.
Oh, yeah.
Get a lot of, like, touristy, you know, Instagram posts and things like that.
There's probably a lot of more French people in New York, too.
Lots of, definitely. Like, low-angle shots of him turning in Times Square.
I'm glad of all the places he could have gone that he ended up on the Knicks, because he was a guy that showed a lot of potential at certain points, and it's really frustrating when one of those guys leaves your team and then goes and plays well and gets really good for somebody else. And I don't think there's any danger of that happening on the Knicks. That is not a place where that happens, where guys go and get way better. So at least we won't have to see that happen. That would break my heart if he became really good for somebody else.
I know I said it, he didn't move the needle for me, the fact that he left. Do you think he moved the needle for Carmelo Anthony when it was announced that he would be joining the Knicks? I'm going to be out on the fact that I don't think Carmelo Anthony will enjoy any of his antics.
Yeah, I mean, when he heard it, I think there's a probably 50-50 chance he has no idea who Kevin Seraphine is when he hears that news.
Also a good point.
Yeah, and, I mean, he loves to shoot the ball, and I don't think Carmelo Anthony will appreciate a guy on his team just shooting literally every time he gets it.
I'd like to know before I answer, when you say, did it move the needle for Carmelo, is that sexual?
Not sexual.
Oh.
Not sexual.
Then no.
What if it was sexual?
It moved.
There was some kind of jolt, maybe not full mass, but
it got its attention.
Okay. That's fair. Also, not on the roster this year, Paul Pierce going on one last ride with Doc Rivers with the Clippers. I really don't like the Clippers, mostly because of Doc Rivers and Chris Paul. And they're really, really fucking lucky that they got DeAndre Jordan re-signed, because their outlook was disastrous. I don't really know how much, you know, it's improved now, but here's to hoping the Clippers are a disaster this year.
Yeah, I don't think it's going too far to say that Paul Pierce is one of history's greatest monsters for what he did in deciding to leave the Wizards and go play with the Clippers for less money.
Yeah, I guess hometown and the old coach will draw you back in, but I'd agree. One of history's greatest monsters.
Yeah. Hitler, Pol Pot,
Stalin. Mao. Paul Pierce. Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett. He's on a whole other level than those guys.
All right. Well, we said goodbye to those guys. Let's project ahead. Let's see what we've got on this Wizards roster. Let's see what we've got on this Wizards roster.
Schwing, it's preseason for us too.
Oh, I've been doing Red Shell Radio for a couple weeks now, and I think I'm just nervous, you know.
Yeah, I think it's the lack of a theme song.
Yeah,
we can tell the listeners we're operating without our normal soundboard, and typically, I know for me, I hear those tunes, I hear those quotes, and I get just jacked up. And I'm in the zone. I think, you know, we just gotta. That could be coming could in be a little slow.
Yeah, no, I agree. And especially for this last section, you know, we could have dropped our goodbye sound bits. You know, mm-hmm. we have several mm-hmm. goodbye songs that would have been appropriate. We'll pulling back the curtain here. If any sounds you hear were added in post-production.
Other things you might be interested in, the layout of the living room is redone.
Yeah, let's comment on that here.
If the acoustics sound a lot better, it's because we shift things around. We are concerned about the feng shui of this room and the energy and how our chi flows in here, and it's much better now.
It feels good to me. I haven't been since you redid this, and it's nice in general, and then gives a good feel for potting. Schwink, you've got a more kind of official captain's chair now.
Yeah. No more. I was had all my things set on a tiny little ottoman, so now we have a real kitchen table. That's new since the last time we podcasted, I'm pretty sure. And, yeah, so more room to spread out here. And Dave is actually considering a new career in interior design.
I'm looking into it, yeah. It's either interior or exterior design. I haven't decided which one yet.
I know you're a big fan of landscaping, especially getting your hands dirty, pulling weeds.
I was talking mostly like the exterior of the house. It's almost exclusively shutters inside. But
shutters make a big difference.
That's like the motto of the exterior design. Shutters make a big difference.
Yeah, it's a little opened up in here. We got something. Dave and I have lived here for a year and a half plus, and we literally had nothing on the walls in the entire apartment.
Wait, really? I never noticed that.
Nothing in my room, nothing in the living room, nothing in Dave's room, and now we have the Maryland flag up. So,
all right.
That's a thing that's happened.
Really, I mean, we are really pulling back the curtain now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're exposing our lives to the public at large.
If you guys log on to the Zardcast website, we'll have a detailed floor plan of the apartment, as well as pictures of every side of this main room here. Yeah. And Schwink's bedroom, but not mine.
Fair enough. I got a couple more things in there, you know. yours is a little more cavernous. But I think this is a good place to start discussing new things.
You think so?
Yeah. New things. Who's new? Jared Dudley's new. Hopefully we'll see him in the first game of the year. Replacement for Paul Pierce. Duncan, how do you feel about this? I think this is Dave and I discussed this over the summer. You obviously heard while you were down in Puerto Rico. We think this is a fantastic move to as far as I'm not even gonna call it a stopgap for Paul Pierce, but you know, just plugging a new guy in. I think it's exactly what the Wizards needed.
Yeah, I don't know that he really necessarily exactly fills Pierce's role, but in the like the stretch four kind of way he does, and he's bigger. He also wears a headband, so that's similar. I would say he shoots better than Pierce, maybe not in the big moments, but in the course of the game, and then maybe you don't have as many big moments because you just have the lead already.
I think he averages 40% from three, 39% from three career.
Right, for like 10 years. I mean, he's been doing it for a long time. He's been a good three-point shooter as long as he's been in the league.
And he was part of my favorite NBA teams of all time, the Suns teams with Steve Nash, and he took a lot of threes there. So many opportunities, and it's good to see that that average maintain. Excited to have him. Alan Anderson, another guy, comes to us from the Nets. Had ankle surgery this week. Second ankle surgery in last couple months. And we're going to be missing him for the first, you know, good chunk of the season, which is unfortunate.
Is there any timetable on his return?
Not what I was seeing from just skimming.
It doesn't sound great, but I haven't heard any actual time frame.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Which is a shame because I was really talking myself into him that he was going to be a really big, productive part of the rotation.
Yeah, about that. Yeah, it's a killer. I mean, they were looking for two guard depth, and now we're a man down, so that's lovely. And probably another reason for the Wizards to try and push DeJuan Blair out the door and get another guard on the squad.
Probably the hardest guy on the team, though, to push out of a door. Got a very low center of gravity, bulky. Doesn't fit through a lot of doors, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Like a door on an RV, he's not going to fit through that.
And if he makes himself limp, right. he's going to be really tough to move.
Also, Gary Neal on this roster. Nice upgrade for backup two guard, although, Dave, as you said, it'll be sad if he starts handling the ball. That would not be good. Towson guy. That's all I got in Gary Neal.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about Gary Neal. Two first names.
I mean, he played for the Spurs, like some decent minutes for the Spurs, which I think is like enough to have on anybody's resume to at least give him a shot. He is a good shooter. He likes to shoot the ball, which is a good thing because there are not a lot of guys in the second unit that can, or at least last year, that could really shoot.
Yeah,
or would like pull up and make their own shots. So that's what I think it remains to be seen. Is he like creating his own shots, or is he just choosing that he should be shooting the ball and then shooting it? Because he shot really poorly, I think, last year. But maybe with some more spacing and not having Kemba Walker as his point guard, he'll do a better job.
Yeah, and he's definitely going to play primarily with the second unit, but, you know, if he's on the floor with John Wall, there's one. John Wall boosts everyone's shooting statistics because he gets some open looks with his nifty little passes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if he's Gary Neal specifically has that to look forward to.
Right.
He was probably pumped about that. So, you know, new guy, needed another scorer off the bench. He fits a nice role. And, you know, we'll toot Ernie Grunfeld's horn here. Good signing. Kelly Oubre, the youngster, as we mentioned before, he had a 16-point game against the 76ers. Originally, I think the thought was he's not going to see a whole lot of playing time. I think we'll probably see him a little bit more than expected, but it really remains to be seen how well he plays and, you know, what kind of look he's going to get. Randy's often fickle with, you know, especially young guys bringing him in, so we'll see what kind of run he gets.
Yeah. I expect he'll be pretty frustrating to watch, too. especially with the quick hook that Randy tends to have. I think Oubre is going to be a guy that makes good plays, goes on good runs, and then goes on really bad runs. And that is not what Randy wants out there.
No, he does not.
I think so. He's one of those guys who, if you were allowed to come out of high school, would have been like one of the highest people drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And then the stock went down after his freshman year, which, I don't know, those type of guys tend to not do super well in the NBA, typically.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll bring this up briefly, but it does pain me a little bit to see Bobby Portis playing well for the Bulls in the preseason. I think he was the guy I was eyeing up, especially where the Wizards were drafting. 7-1 power forward. That's probably power forward's the biggest weakness for this Wizards team. Would have filled that hole nicely, and you know,
he's averaging double digit rebounds in the preseason. He's already shooting threes. I mean, I feel like they just overthought it. Why wouldn't you just take Bobby Portis?
Yeah, and I think in subsequent months we've heard Grunfeld and other people in the organization say, like, oh, well, we didn't think he'd be there, but he was there.
Right.
So I don't, that's not a good excuse on their part. Yeah. They probably should have just said nothing, but.
And they already traded up.
Yeah.
So.
That'd be like if, like, Towns dropped a three or something.
Right.
And the Sixers were like, oh, and they took somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, we didn't think he'd be there.
We weren't prepared for this.
So Mudiay seemed like the guy.
There was just a collective panic attack in the draft room. Wah, wah. All right. I'm sure Kelly Oubre will be fine.
Yeah, he might be good.
We'll see. He could we'll be really see good. Yeah.
Shouldn't be so down on him.
Yeah, no, I just... He's probably the biggest, outside of Alan Anderson's injury, probably the biggest unknown we have going into the season. Actually, right.
Especially because...
One of the bigger ones.
Even, like, best case scenario for Oubre, he's a project. He's not going to be... I mean, by almost all accounts, he's not going to be, like, a big contributor this season. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. All right. Well, I do... Overall, I think I like what the Wizards did in the offseason to improve the roster. There are still some problem spots. It does, you know, like we said, it hurts that Alan Anderson is out for a good chunk of time. There's still kind of an issue with the power forward position. I think that, you know, teams like, you know, maybe not the Hawks specifically, but a man like Paul Millsap can exploit those kinds of weaknesses. So something to look out for as we move forward in the season. Let's move on to, so we talked about who's new here. Let's talk about the old bloods, but I kind of, as I went through this, I tried to talk about the new things with these old players on the roster, if that makes sense to everyone listening at home. I think just on the whole, as we mentioned before, it seems like Randy and Ernie, they listened to the groans from last season. They took to heart, you know, the anger that everyone was projecting from the Wizard-style play in the regular season. They flipped that around come postseason. And, you know, hopefully, as we said before, that stays. I feel like that's the biggest thing, one of the bigger things to hope and pray for, that this style of play sticks and Randy sticks with it and everyone's on board and it's successful. Because there's no reason why it can't work.
I would think that even if Randy and Ernie didn't give a damn about the groans about style of play from fans and
normally they shouldn't. I mean,
right. But it seems like it also, these changes are the best suited for John Wall, who is their franchise player, who they should be kind of formulating. You know, if you intend on keeping him for a long time, which I'm sure they do, you should be building the team to his strengths.
Right. As good as he was, you know, has been the last few years distributing the ball, it's not the best suited to his skills to have him slowly bring the ball up the court and then them get into these sets that everybody seems to see coming from a mile away. He can only do so much with that. Mm-hmm. Even with how he, you know, controls the defense and makes passes that almost nobody else can. If the offense, if nobody's moving around, he can only do so much with that.
Yeah, and I think, especially, you know, when they're in those offensive sets and he's getting the ball is taken out of his hands, John Wall has a tendency himself to kind of like float around, you know, on the elbow of the 3-point line, like right. Not really be really involved. And that's a disaster. When John Wall is not involved with the offense, like, you've got a problem.
So right.
I'm glad they've seen some light. We'll see if it continues to shine.
Yeah, and I'd bet he'll possess the ball less this year, just because he won't be standing, you know, outside the 3-point line pounding the ball for 10 seconds going into every possession. But I would bet his assists will still go up. And especially if they're, you know, taking more threes and pushing the ball more, that's when he's at his absolute best, is when he's able to orchestrate the fast break and find guys on the 3-point line.
Why don't we just break into some John Wall talk here? Let's do it.
Always ready for that.
Ni ha washi John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall of the Washington Wizards.
A spectacular circus shot by John Wall.
Everybody do it, John.
I wanted to save John Wall for last, but I don't know.
It's so hard to do.
I felt like it would be like a good grand finale, but then we just started talking about him, and I just got excited. So let's talk John Wall before anyone else coming back to the Wizards this year. Saw today that NBA GMs, they believe that he is the fastest person in the NBA with the ball. Nothing we didn't know already. I think as far as John Wall goes this season, we've seen him, you know, take a step up every year, especially the last three and the last two in particular. And I think that we were everyone should get their popcorn ready because he will take another leap in 2015-16. And it should be exciting. I don't think there's any reason why he, again, can't be the second best player in the East, which is what he was last year.
Right. And if he, I mean, obviously his shooting is not great. It never has been. It probably never will be. But a ton of that, you have to think, is because the offense is so stagnant and he takes so many shots when there's just literally nothing else happening. Mm-hmm. So if there's more movement around him, there's fewer guys clogging up the paint. He'll get to the rim more. He's one of the best in the league at finishing at the rim. His field goal percentage will go up. His efficiency will go up. And I don't see – I mean, I would be surprised if he doesn't end up with some – at least in the MVP conversation at the end of the season. I don't think he's capable of winning it, but he'll be there all throughout the year, I think.
Duncan, you got a John Wall boner on over there?
Yeah, that's why I was being quiet.
You're not wearing sweatpants today, so I could not see what was going on over there. Thank goodness.
We keep doing these Tuesday pods. You know, I won't be here in my usual sweats. I mean, work clothes.
Yeah, when we switch back to Sundays, Duncan goes full loungewear over here.
Can't wait.
Sometimes multiple layers of loungewear.
Usually.
You know, just in case he gets excited while we're potting, he soils himself, he's ready to... And I've seen him change out before. It's pretty impressive, although unsightly impressive. So get excited for John Wall, everyone. That's got to be like my... I know I keep saying, like, this is the thing I'm looking for, this is the thing to be down on. But John Wall playing basketball is what gets me excited when I wake up in the morning.
See, though, what did you think of the thing where he went to... that walk? Was that yesterday or 2 days ago?
I think it was sometime last week. Or maybe it was Saturday.
Saturday, yeah.
Because he missed the game.
Right.
Right.
Whitman. Basically, what Wall thought he was, he kind of just sponsored it or that one team in it and was expecting to play in the preseason game. And Whitman was like, nah, you're good. Go do this. And I thought that was pretty cool.
It's probably the nicest thing Randy Whitman's done in like several years.
Yeah, and is makes me kind of glad for one of the few times that the Wizards don't get the local media attention that the Redskins do, because you'd have a lot of idiots writing like John Wall not dedicated to the team, like missing preseason games, and that would have made me upset.
Well, because it would have hurt John, and that would have hurt you.
Right, and mostly, I just mean I would have had to hear about it from John for weeks.
Yeah, I mean, have you guys hung out lately?
No, he's locked in. He doesn't, other than the charity walk that you mentioned, he doesn't leave his home other than to practice or go to games.
He treats the preseason like LeBron treats the pro season.
Yeah, and he actually he's doing this weird thing lately where he wears a full suit at all times to show that he's all business. And I'm like, John, you don't have to do that. But.
That's very, was it Jimmy Butler who took the rearview mirror out of his car? It's similar.
Right.
It's metaphor through action. You know?
Right.
Well, I hope once the season starts, you guys can hang out a little bit more. I know he's an important man. He's a busy guy, but I know that he does like to spend some quality time with his friend Dave. So
I keep him grounded, I think.
Yeah. I'm sure you guys have been exchanging texts and whatnot.
Oh, we never stop texting, Snapchatting, all sorts of stuff.
He's into the filters.
He is. He really likes the new Snapchat filters, where he's got like the big hearts over his eyes. He thinks that's really funny.
Probably spits rainbows at you all the time.
He doesn't like that one. I sent it to him one time, and he was like, "Don't you ever fucking do it again." I don't know why I didn't even ask.
Probably for the best. So I didn't really have this ordered as well. I just had John Wall as the grand finale. But the first guy I actually had up on here was young Bradley Beal. Let's talk Brad. He has talked about committing to getting rid of those long twos from his game, shooting more threes. It paid dividends in the playoffs last year. And I think it is especially important to note, it is a contract year for young Brad. And as we know, NBA players, they don't fuck around in contract years. So because of that, I don't think it's crazy that Brad could be, I don't want to say all-star, but I want to fringe all-star candidate.
Right.
I think it's a good, a reasonable place to expect him to be, you know, come January.
I mean, who were the starting all-star guards last year? Wall and Lowry?
Yes, yeah.
I mean, it's definitely not a stretch to say he could be better than Kyle Lowry.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Butler, I guess it depends. Jimmy Butler's really good. Dwayne Wade, I think those are really the only competition there.
Is Kyrie's hurt, right?
Right, he should be out, I don't know, I think the first month of the season at least.
Like to hear that, like to hear that.
I did see, so I think I agree that he could be like a fringe all-star possibility like you're talking about, but I don't know. I think that'd be based more on like team success that he's a big part of, you know.
Right.
He'd be getting those votes. I saw today he was ranked 36th best player in the NBA. That seemed high to me.
Yeah. And that's got to be based on like a projection for this year rather than
maybe like a trade value thing or something.
Right.
Cuz 36, I mean, just my immediate thought was, well, there's 30 teams.
Right.
Every team's got probably at least one guy as good as or better than him, and then you got plenty of teams where they're stacked and they have a couple guys.
Yeah.
But
take it though.
I mean, how many guys have played as well as Beal played in the playoffs last year for any extended stretch? There aren't that many of them.
Yeah, I think so. A little more consistency out of Brad would go a long way this year. I think a lot of times in the during the regular season last year, we didn't have a whole lot of expectations for him. So when he did fall off, it would kind of flew under the radar. I don't know if he'll be able to, because it's contract year again, if he'll be able to weather that as well. It'll definitely be more noticeable. So, you know, a little bit more consistency from Brad will certainly go a long way.
And he's just got to stay healthy.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Because, you know, even when he doesn't end up missing a huge amount of games, when you're just never able to get into, like, a solid rhythm because you're never playing, like, you know, a large chunk in a row, that is not good for anybody's development.
I'd like to see him lead the team in scoring.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, when Wall's scoring a ton, sometimes they're winning those, but usually the best games are when Wall has, like, 20 points, 10 assists, and then there's two other guys who score 20, you know. I could see Beal averaging 23 or something like that, leading the team, and then that would probably bode really well for the Wizards.
Yeah, I mean, just to see him get over 20, I think, take a little bit, again, of that burden off Wall, taking shots at the end of dead possessions and...
Yeah, I'd rather him take the shots after dead possession. It I know this isn't the case, but in my mind, when I think of John Wall leading the team and scoring, I think that the Wizards, you know, they won't be they're not a bad team when that happens. But yeah, I'm with you guys. The more assists, the better for him, and the more shots he's got to take, the more problems offensively. I think that speaks to the larger problems that they're going to have offensively. So Brad Beal. Contract year. Let's see what he does. Another gentleman who's been around for two seasons now. He's on a long-term contract. Marcin Gortat. He has a new nickname. I got to pull it up. Do you guys know the new nickname he wants to be referred to by?
Is it the Gazelle?
Yes, the Polish Gazelle.
He came up with that?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem that accurate. Or at least, I don't know. It's not the animal that would come to mind for me.
Maybe gazelles in Poland are a little bit clunkier.
I don't know. I mean, hopefully it's aspirational, and that's what, you know, he's ready to run this year.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's looked great in the preseason. He's shooting like 70% or something.
I can envision him in doing some gazelle moves when he's taking the pick and roll and he's kind of coming off the free throw line, you know, maybe like one, two step, you know, a little soft floater up into the basket. That would be nice.
I mean, how many guys as big as him do run as well as he does?
Yeah, not a whole lot. And he's going to be critical in the offense this year, especially if they really are going to push a faster pace, you know, aside from running. But, you know, I think our big thing last year at the end of last season was, like, we need more Gortat pick and roll.
Right.
Because it really, you know, at times it was unstoppable with him and John, and him and Brad even run it well too. So
right.
He is certainly, again, a key cog in this team. He was an advocate for the smaller ball look, and he changed his number. Hmm. That's new. That's new with Gortat.
So he's 13 now? Is that it?
Yes. Yeah. He was 4 before.
13's a cooler number than 4.
Mm-hmm. I think that was like his original number in the NBA. Serafine had it last time, or last couple years. Hopefully, Gortat, last year he went through a mid-year slump along with the rest of the Wizards. I think that was obviously one of the things that was ailing them throughout the winter months. And as we said in the podcast over the summer, some sort of unspecified personal turmoil. It obviously could have been a number of things. Could have been a lady. Could have been, you know, he just signed a big contract. People hitting him up for money. Who knows what it is, but hopefully that won't crop up again.
Maybe those pictures of him with the tank weren't as fun-loving as we all thought.
I really enjoyed, I love it when he goes to Poland and he does like his tour, his basketball camps, he hangs out with the troops and whatnot, but I fucking love that he brought an Otto Porter with him. Otto Porter couldn't be, he just seems like a nice, quiet
right.
dude, and to go along with Gortat, where I'm sure he's just hailed as a hero wherever he goes. What an odd duo. I wish someone would have followed them around with a camera just like at meal, you know, when they're having fun. I think it would have been funny. I don't think Otto drinks. So that, you know, interesting dynamic there. You know, Otto being like, come on, Martian, it's time to get back to the hotel.
Where is Otto from?
Is he from Missouri? No. That's where Brad's from.
It's somewhere out there.
I'll look it up right now.
I feel like Poland is kind of the Midwest of Europe, so maybe he would fit in well out there.
Oh, yeah, he is from Missouri, St. Louis. Great on. Only 22. Ugh, that makes me feel old. When John Wall had his birthday and he turned 25, I forgot that he's a shade younger than I am, and it blew my girlfriend's mind. She's like, I thought he was 31.
Where'd she get that number from?
I don't know. She just assumed basketball player had to be older, but we are getting old, my friends.
But about Gortat, and, you know, he had some, I guess, struggles last year, but I think that was mostly because Randy kept benching him. I don't think he really played too poorly at any point of the season. I mean, he's the most consistent guy on the team, other than Wall, I would say. And I think he was getting blamed a lot for the fact that him and Nene weren't working together. Just keep playing him. I mean, I think he'll be fine. He's never not been fine at any point in his Wizards tenure.
Right. I think that's a good segue to talk about Nene, because I believe he is the biggest question mark on this team as far as personnel goes. And Dave, you're right. They don't, I think at the start of last season, we had hopes that, and even the season before, you know, what's better than a massive front court, you know, kind of the two towers
right.
aspect, you know, Randy values the defensive style. That was our mind frame last year. We're like, okay, you know, we're going to clog the paint up for opposing offenses. You know, this is going to be great. But what the playoffs showed us last year, among other issues with Nene, but they don't play well together, and it ruins the offense. It ruins everything.
Right.
They cannot see the court together other than, you know, supremely limited action. So I think we got a number. We got a couple different ways we can look at Nene here. Well, first of all, it seems like it's locked up that he's going to come off the bench as the bench center,
mm-hmm.
which I think is perfect. But I know it chaps his ass. But it is also one of the first things Gortat said in the offseason, like, you know, like, we need to play a smaller, faster style of basketball, and that means me and Nene can't be on the court together, and I know that he's going to be disgruntled by that. But at the time, Gortat was saying, you know, I think he'll get it. He understands his role. He'll be a good sport. I don't really know if I buy that. And if he does do it, then great, but I think that's the big issue.
He's seemed okay with it. I mean, at some point he has to understand, and I feel like over the last few years he's started talking a lot more about his, like, basketball mortality, you know what I mean? And, right. like, he knows he can't play much longer. I think he knows that it was hurting the team the way that they were using him. And if he plays better, then I don't think he's going to mind too much coming off the bench. And that's the hope, at least.
And wins. If he's coming off the bench and, right. they're winning and they're up in top of the conference, things will be smooth. And if and they're doing that and they're struggling, then you might start to hear some groaning, some, you know, asking for more minutes, that sort of thing. I want to know if any other duo in the league could even hold a candle to Nene and Gortat in a WWE-style tag team match.
I don't think so.
Other than Z-Bo and Gasol.
Ooh, Z-Bo and Gasol.
Could you imagine? Oh, man, what a hell of a tag team match that would be.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I would take, I mean, Gortat has some kind of, like, boxing background. And Nene clearly was using some kind of, like, karate move when he almost ripped Jimmy Butler's head off.
If only he would have, if only.
I don't know, though. I mean, Zach Randolph is a very tough guy. I don't know about Marc Gasol.
That's what I was thinking. Z-Bo for sure, although I feel like he would tire out faster than any of those four.
Well, it's a tag team, though. You could tag out.
That is true. But then you tag Marc Gasol in, and I think he'd be solid, but I don't really... I'm kind of unsure about how he would fare. He's kind of in the mold of Paul Power. He's like, you know,
he's not
take a siesta today.
He's not a like super physical player,
right? He's a big man, but he's not physical,
right? Right.
Man. I do like it when he, you know, when he's playing well, and he's like, "Vamos, chicos, venga en mi mochila."
What a shame that we don't live. In the 90s anymore, where we actually got to see Dennis Rodman and Karl Malone in a WWE event. Do you remember that?
I do. I remember that being a thing. I watched a lot of wrestling at the time, but I don't remember that specifically, unfortunately. You know what I did look up the other day, or not on my own impetus? My brother showed this to me, and I recommend it to all of our listeners. It was a compilation of just about every single Stone Cold Steve Austin stunner from, like, you know, actual, like, footage from pay-per-views and, like, Monday Night Raw, but also, like, a lot of grainy 2008 cell phone footage, which I didn't even know that was a thing, but there were a lot of those, like, people videotaping from the crowds, and it's a lot of fun.
How long was this video?
I think it was, like, 4 minutes.
2.5 hours. Oh.
It's pretty quick.
Stone Cold and The Rock was peak.
Yes.
WWE. F into E was when I was really into it. When right before it switched to E, actually, probably.
Admittedly, I was more of a WCW guy at the time, but I did like me some WWF. I was a big Stone Cold fan.
Yeah.
Sting, my favorite wrestler, if anyone was wondering.
I think that's probably the first question that was on everyone's mind.
Yeah. Do you guys have favorite wrestlers?
It probably was Stone Cold. I had the Austin 316 shirt and everything.
The best is when you, I mean, they all have their walk-up music, but when you hear the glass break for Stone Cold, you're like, oh, he comes! He's pouring beer all over himself. I didn't even know what beer was when I was 8, but I was like, this is awesome! Austin 316, sure. My mom didn't like it a whole lot.
My mom took me to a couple events. I went to a Raw once, and then a lesser one as well.
I did get to go to WCW Starrcade. You guys remember Goldberg?
Yeah.
His undefeated streak. I was at the match where he lost.
Man.
Due to some nefarious activities. You know, Scott Steiner, he showed up, stunned him while the ref was knocked out. It was at the Verizon Center. Me and my cousins and my brothers, you guys know him. And we were, you know, last row of the Verizon Center screaming like, no, ref, it's Scott Steiner. He's just in a security costume. Like, that's a stun gun. What kind of organization is this? Bunch of sixth graders. Hot wrestling takes. Had a lot of thoughts on wrestling and Pokemon in the fifth and sixth grades.
So. Should have done a podcast.
I know. I probably still could. Let's get back on track here. Kev, you mentioned Marcin Gortat as probably outside of John Wall, the most consistent player on the team. I think there is an argument to be made for the curious case of Christopher Humphreys. Mm. I think he was the most one of the more consistent guys in the regular season, and then for reasons that still escape us, we did not see him in the postseason. Really, really bizarre. Especially he's going to be the new starting power forward.
Almost as bizarre, yeah, his disappearance is almost as bizarre as the fact that he is apparently the new starting forward, and I feel like not a lot of people are, like, questioning that. I don't think Chris Humphreys is good enough to be a starting power forward. For this team, no, I don't know that that's really going to work. I think that might be, might give them some troubles. Unless he's able to... I mean, he's shot the three a lot. He hasn't really, from what I've seen, looked like he knows what he's doing as far as, like, getting three-point shots.
He shouldn't do that.
I think he's definitely going to do that. We went to the one game, the preseason game against the Sixers here. Dave told me that before the game. He was like, apparently Humphreys has been trying to implement the three into his game. And we both, like, laughed about it. And then he took, like, six in the game. I think he made three of them, but...
And in his, yeah, the very first possession, they're running down the court after a rebound, and Chris Humphreys is trailing the whole play and then just stops at the top of the three-point line. I don't know if Chris Humphreys is the kind of guy that you want as your stretch four if he's not capable of, like, dribbling the ball or really passing the ball. But I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll have to see how it goes. I would prefer to see... Jared Dudley start at the four.
I think that's fair. I mean, I think that's really the only other option. I'm not too concerned about it. I am concerned about those three-pointers that he's taking. But I think the best part of his game, and the only one on the team that does it well, is to him taking log two-pointers.
Yeah.
I feel like that's his best shot from the elbow. And, you know, that's what Randy likes to do, and I think that can ultimately spread the floor a little. Now, obviously, not
he's usually wide open for him,
right? And you know, if he's not doing well, you know, if he's taking three pointers and it's not really working out for him, that's his game. I think that's fine. I think it opens the floor up enough. You know, obviously, if he's not the starting power forward, he's going to get a lot of run with the second unit, and I kind of get worried that, you know, with Nene as the center, that having him out there might clog things up even more.
Right.
With Nene not being as mobile as Gortat. So I'm kind of okay with it. I wouldn't say I'm excited, but, you know, his consistency definitely worth noting, and, you know, I don't want to say he's earned it, but
it seems more like a stylistic decision.
Mm-hmm.
Like what you're talking about, matching him with Nene. Or with him with Gortat rather than Nene.
Right.
Even though I would say, by all accounts, Jared Dudley's probably a better basketball player, like, right, all around.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, it just seems like maybe it just is a better fit with the lineups. And, you know, they can adjust that if it doesn't work. But
and it ultimately doesn't matter who starts. It's about who's playing and with who. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if the spacing that Chris Humphreys does provide is enough. I mean, it's not like he's significantly more mobile and a better defender than Nene is. I mean, he might be, like, a little quicker on his feet, but Nene is a much smarter defender than he is. I think that might really hurt them defensively. So if you want to go, you know, faster and shoot more, why not start Jared Dudley and go all the way with it and let, you know, Dudley play and, like, maximize that three-point range that he has.
I'm sure it'll all be sorted out as the season starts. Do you guys think the fact that Chris Humphreys did not play during the playoffs, there's no chance Randy Whitman will ever answer a question about that? Do you think that is like a secret that just goes to the bottom of the sea that we'll never, ever know?
I'll go with his memoir.
That's like the only place that
his
he put
tell-all
it.
Tell-all book when he gets his 10 rings like Phil, and he puts a book out about it. That's when he'll tell.
Such a weird, weird thing that happened there. And, you know, they were doing well in the playoffs, so it wasn't, like, necessary, but it was just, like, how do you just, like, cut a guy who was so integral to the team? right. for 82 games.
And Drew Gooden was playing well mm-hmm. in general. I mean, he had a lot of really good games and really good stretches. But there were also times where it was just like, you have to get Drew Gooden out of the game right now.
Right.
Put anybody else in. And, yeah, I don't understand why they didn't play Humphries at all.
Let's go to Drew Gooden here. He's back on the Wizards. I like Drew Gooden a lot. I think he can do some things that will be serviceable and valuable at times for the Wizards. But at the same time, he is kind of part of their problem with the power forward position because he is a little bit older. He doesn't play defense, just, you know, as far as, like, mobility goes, essentially. But, you know, he can shoot three, and he's Uncle Drew from Bethesda. Like, what?
And he consistently makes big plays all yeah. the time. You can put him in. That's another thing is you almost don't even have to worry about putting Drew Gooden in the rotation. It's just sometimes it's like, all right, it's Drew Gooden time. Let's yeah. see if he can do something. And then a lot of times he will. He'll go out there, hit a bunch of threes. Or he's like a sneaky rebounder. He's not a good rebounder, but he gets big ones a lot.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. He's, you know, if he's playing well, he'll be in the rotation. If he's not, you know, we'll see him in a week or two. Like
he's not concerned about his no. minutes.
He's concerned about being on a basketball team. He's accomplished that, so no big deal there. Happy to have him back, though. Good locker room guy as well.
Definitely.
Let's keep on trucking here. I think we have to get around to the Ottoman Empire. Otto Porter Jr., breakout player for the Wizards in the playoffs last year. Do-it-all kind of guy, has continued to look great in the preseason. We actually even had a tweet asking us if we thought Otto Porter will be an all-star. I'll say no to that. But that doesn't mean he won't be very good or he can't be very good for the Wizards. And I'm very excited to see him play a full season because it wasn't until the end of last season another just randy thing that will just, you know, a secret that'll die with him as to why he wouldn't play him. So now we'll get to see a lot of Otto run. He'll probably start. So I'm excited for Otto time. I know you guys are too. Dave, I know you're a big Otto guy.
Huge Otto guy. Yeah, I mean, if he can just keep shooting, he seems and keep his confidence up. And now I think he's got that, now that he's got Randy's confidence in him. Those are really the only things. He's always been super good at all the little things, basketball cutting. He was an incredible offensive rebounder. He knows where to be. So if he just keeps his confidence up, keeps shooting well on his three-pointers, he'll be huge.
I think the last time I was here doing the pod, I know I missed the last two you guys did when I was running my empire.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's okay.
The last time I was on, I was basically trying to temper Otto expectations. I was like, mm-hmm. I was kind of down on him in the regular season last year, and then he had awesome playoffs, and then I was saying, you know, let's just not necessarily jump the gun and think he's the next great Wizard, but the hype's starting to get to me, too. I'm getting pretty excited for him based on the little preseason I've watched. He's draining jumpers, doing, like, everything. I think he could be really good. I don't. All-star seems way beyond what he could do this year, but
agreed.
I think he could be like a really valuable player for the Wizards. While we're on the topic, you said the guy, we got the question on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Something that got me pretty fired up, and I just want to shout him out because it really did get me excited, was JD at Wishy Ish on Twitter asked us, when is the next podcast, about a few days ago or a week ago or something. And this is just a dude we don't know. You know, just genuinely excited for the Wizards and some Wizards content. That made me pretty pumped to get it back in here and do this with you guys. So thanks for the support, JD. And now I'm looking at it, and he doesn't even tweet that much. He hasn't tweeted since then. So, like, he went out of his way to do that. So
he's got his priorities in order is what it sounds like.
Yeah, JD, good guy.
Yeah, we got to give a shout-out. I'm sure we're going to well, we'll see how the downloads go, but I'm sure we'll have a number of new listeners who this podcast will fall on their ears. So thank you for listening. You should tell a friend if you're into this quality Wizards content.
Or an enemy if you hate it.
Yeah, be like, listen, do you want something to ruin your day? Listen to these shitheads.
Yeah. If you got like a step-parent that you really don't like.
If you have a step-parent you don't like and you want us to trash-talk them, we'll do that for you. We're men of the people. We'll take requests. And if you share the show on Twitter,
we'll give you $1,000.
We'll give you a shout-out on the podcast. For sure.
Well, which is more valuable anyway.
Right.
You share the podcast, tag us in a tweet, throw the link out to the show, to your followers, your friends, your fellow Wizards fans. You'll get a shout-out on the show. Quite enticing.
Mm. Can I do that?
Sure.
I'm going to do it like 10 times.
No, members of the podcast and all immediate family members. This is only open to members, citizens of the 48 contiguous United States.
What is this, the fucking lottery?
No Alaska, no Hawaiians.
We do have, I don't have the, once we get the podcast going, I'll have more stats to provide behind the scenes as far as our listeners go. But also shout out to the guys in San Jose who listen to us. I know you guys are out there. You listened all last year.
There are multiple San Jose listeners?
It seems like there are multiple people in San Jose who listen to Zardcast. So shout out to them.
And shout out to our new sponsor. I'll let one of you guys announce him. But it's really cool of you guys to get us that new soundboard in here because, you know, we didn't have it this week. So, you know, I want to thank him a lot. Dave? Dave's overcome with joy. You can't even get it out. Schwing, tell him who the new sponsor is.
Well, this week, you know, it's a new sponsor this year, an old sponsor. Let's welcome Franzia back into the fold. Franzia, everyone, Box Wine, powering hangovers everywhere. Thank you for sponsoring our new soundboard, the Franzia soundboard, which we don't have this week, but we will have next week. So shout out to them.
Franzia, drink inside the box.
Oh, man. I like that.
That is some good copy that they wrote for us.
Yeah, really good. Really good on their advertising guys over there. I think there's two Wizards left we can just gloss over, and then I think we should close it out for the day. We've exerted a lot of content here, a lot of views, and you know, we don't want to use it all up, especially because next week we'll still no games to talk about. But as far as that goes,
I don't know, man. I feel like I could keep going. I just got content coming out my pores right now.
That's good. That's good. Any content about Garrett Temple?
Garrett Temple. I have some content about Garrett
Please.
Temple. I've always thought that he looked like Otto Porter, but I didn't realize that was like a thing everyone thought when we were at that game. Otto got subbed out. Temple went in. Temple scored like two of the next three buckets for the Wizards, and every time the crowd just went, Otto!
The guy that was right in front of us kept like nudging his wife, being like, that's Otto Porter.
Yeah, Otto's killing it out there.
I feel like they look similar on TV. Not as much in person, but...
Well, Otto's significantly larger.
Right.
But like their build is similar.
Mm-hmm. Just they kind of run similar. They both have sort of like a stiff...
Yeah, but very upright runners.
And that's really all that anyone thinks about Garrett Temple.
Okay, here's a Wizard that I do have actual thoughts on, and I don't know if he's the best guy to close the podcast out, but you know what? Razor Ramon Sessions.
Everybody gets one.
Yeah. He, you know, it really is, and I think this was exemplified when John was out in the Hawks series. It's nice to have a capable backup point guard, but also one that replicates the style of your starting point guard. So not a whole lot of adjustments, you know, on offense. I don't really know. I don't think he plays as good of defense as John does. But nice to have him on board. I'm a fan. I believe he's also in a contract year, too.
I thought you were going to say, I believe he's also a fan. Like, he listens to the podcast. I'm not sure if he does.
He's a fan of himself.
I'm sure that he is. That would be very sad if he wasn't.
If Vermont Sessions had really low self-esteem.
Right.
Do you think if you're a pro player in the NBA and you're playing 2K, but you're like kind of a middling player or a scrub, do you ever up your stats a little?
I was going to say, what if he is such like not a fan of himself that when he starts a franchise with the Wizards, he trades himself away so he doesn't have to play with himself.
For like an equivalent guy.
Yeah, I think he would have to.
He is in a contract year. Unrestricted free agent after this one. And I agree. I think a lot of NBA players play 2K and bump their stats up.
Really? I don't think they do. I was posing that question, but I don't think they do. You think they really do?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
This is like a – this is not – I don't know any NBA players. Dave obviously is friends with John, but I think he's more of a FIFA guy or Madden. I'm not really sure.
And John's stats are already like pretty high, so he wouldn't need to.
Yeah, for sure. But when I was in college, my freshman year, I went to West Virginia University, and we Duncan, you'll remember, yeah. Tyler Rader, yeah. And God damn, what was the other guy's name? They both played offensive line, and they were both in NCAA, and they were both like had like horrible ratings. So they would sit around and like put their guys to the ringer. So like I remember Rader was like a 62 overall, like tight end, and he spent many hours improving himself within NCAA. So I think it's a real thing. I don't know how widespread it is, but definitely guys do it for sure.
I mean, there are some guys that absolutely do it. Like Deion Waiters is not even like training his guy. He's just going in and
demanding more money.
Like he's spending actual money on like the
boosts.
Right, so that he can just up his stats to where he thinks he should be.
What about a guy like Whiteside, though, who, like, instead he just campaigns in real life, raise my stats, and then he tries to prove it on the court?
I think that's a good move because especially with the updates and the patches they give you, I think that's probably, I don't know, especially if you want your stats to improve, you know, across the board, I think the actual personal campaign to NBA 2K is more viable.
Yeah, especially because you're essentially doing marketing for them.
Mm-hmm.
It only makes sense.
All right, gents. We've run through the entire roster. We've talked about what's new, what's old, what we're looking forward to. I think next week we'll dive into maybe the first month or so of the schedule, just kind of general outlook there. We're going to record on the first night of the NBA season, so we can probably talk a little bit more about the Eastern Conference. I would actually like to get your guys' thoughts on, I think the second part will come out next week. Man, I don't know if it'll work or not. It depends on when it comes out. But the Grantland NBA
league pass
rankings. The first half came out, but I wonder if the second half won't come out until next.
Comes out Wednesday.
Ooh, okay. So we'll have to wait a week to talk about that, but.
Well, I thought next week we were doing our holiday movie season preview, where we just talk about all the great new movies that are coming out this holiday season. Is that not what we're doing?
Dave, if you want to do an off basketball segment, I'd be happy to. What are you looking forward to?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't researched it yet.
What's the Catching Fire Part 2?
And
I am looking forward to that.
I haven't seen part one. I gotta watch it.
Wait, and have you seen the ones before it?
Yes, okay. And I've read the books.
Okay.
And I don't know if this fits into the holiday season category, but the sequel to The Maze Runner. so we almost exclusively watch young adult fiction adaptations.
And if it's, you know, post-apocalyptic world, dystopian future, mm-hmm.
Is there a new Divergent coming out as well, I think? Insurgent?
I'm sure that there is.
Yeah. Regurgent?
I mean, they can't just stop making them after they made the classic that was Divergent.
Yeah.
So stick around. Keep listening to Zardcast, quality basketball content, as well as the latest teen novel movie adaptations. That's what we're here for, right?
Yeah, I think that's what everybody's here for.
Sorry it took us, an hour and 10 minutes to get to that part of the conversation. So we'll be back, as I said, where we're going to record next Tuesday, out on Wednesday. If there's enough interest, I can post the schedule that we're going to record on, because it is a little bit irregular, but mostly Tuesdays from here until January 1.
2020.
Is the idea. Yes.
We just signed a new contract, so we're all...
We've got a...
We all re-up for the next 5 years.
And it was hinging on us rearranging the living room as well. So we got that out of the way. New contract, new living room. No new attitudes, though, as we discussed before. Hard to change your attitude in life.
We're never going to change.
All right. Any parting shots? We've been at it for a while. Do you guys have any last words before we leave? And if you don't, that's okay, too.
I really like the last sentence that you put on the notes here about John Wall. Get your popcorn ready, because this could be his best act yet. That's like a very dramatic, like you could put that on the Wizards preview, like under his, that's some good like PR copy.
You know, Dave, that might be what I do, you know, on the side when Zardcast isn't, you know, taking up my life. But, yeah, well, that was part of the reason I wanted to save him for last. But we didn't, because we got too excited. Duncan, any final thoughts?
Just that pump for the season. Not only the Wizards, but being here with y'all.
Yeah, we'll be watching an actual NBA game next Tuesday when we record, so that's exciting. So until then, as I said at the top of the show, at Zardcast on Twitter, Zardcast.com, Zardcast@gmail.com is the email address. Tell a friend. I'm sure you have, if you're listening to this, you have friends who enjoy the Wizards as well. This is the only, there are other Wizards podcasts here, out there. We're definitely the pioneers of it, though. And we're the only ones who bring the thunder consistently. So do subscribe on iTunes, Overcast, Downcast, Podbay, whichever you prefer. Give us a rating. And we'll be back next Tuesday. So, for my co-hosts, David Keffer, Duncan Perfect Roth, I am CT Schwenk. That was Zardcast.